This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. اللهم صل على حبيبنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في الأولين، وصلي اللهم وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في الآخرين. Welcome, Rabbi Alhamdulillah, to our sessions on illuminations, Quranic reflections from the Haramain. And we're on day 10. It is now officially one third of Ramadan is over based on this night. We have a day left tomorrow, of course, but subhanAllah, one third is gone already. So, subhanAllah, it's going by very quick, and it's really, I think, a point in term to just reflect over what we've done in the first one third. And there's always time to, of course, improve. And if you felt like your first third wasn't good, no worries, alhamdulillah, there's still two thirds left. You can pick yourself up, inshallah, and make up for anything. So let's say you haven't even done Quran yet, or you're falling really far behind. Even you just think about how shaitan makes us feel like there's, you know, a lack of hope. Or sometimes we ourselves think that there's a lack of, okay, I didn't do it, so I'm not going to do it at all. But if you really dedicate yourself for one day, you can make up for even this first 10 days. So it's really about dedication, really. It's really about the mindset. When people are really motivated, they push themselves, right? So alhamdulillah, inshallah, one third of Ramadan in our recitation. Today the Imam recites Surah Al-An'am. Like we said, we spoke about Surah Al-Ma'idah yesterday, which talk about completion of faith and fulfilling our covenants. And Surah Al-An'am now speaks about it's very interesting surah, actually, one of my favorite surahs. And the reason why it is very beautiful is that Surah Al-An'am is the first Meccan surah that's mentioned in the order of the Quran after Al-Fatiha. So Al-Fatiha is the first one, and then Al-Baqarah, and then Al-Imran, and then Al-Nisa, and then Al-Ma'idah, and then Al-An'am. Al-An'am is the first long surah from among the first seven long surahs that is the Mecki. And it was revealed all at once. Surah Al-An'am was revealed, the entire thing at once. As we know that most of the Quran that are long chapters, they were revealed in different parts. And we talk about that in this class that I teach called Quranic Seerah, which we talk about the chronological order of the revelation of the Quran according to the life of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But in any case, this was revealed in the middle, late portion of the Meccan period. And it's a very powerful surah because it pretty much ends all of the excuses of the Quraysh in terms of why they don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all of the excuses that they made for their lack of faith. So it's really responding to all of that. So it's an establishment of Islamic beliefs. It's among the objectives of Surah Al-An'am is to establish Islamic belief in its foundations with rational proofs and a response to anyone that may have an excuse for not believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or this faith. So it's a very powerful surah, Surah Al-An'am. There are two ayat that stuck out to me in particular. One of them is ayahs 42, 43, and 44. So three ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. Indeed, we sent messengers before you, O Prophet, to other people who we put through suffering and adversity for their denial, so perhaps that they would be humbled. So in reality, the whole point of the difficulties that people face is for them to kind of think what is the purpose behind it, and that they may be humbled themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in reality, it's a way to be humbled to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Some kids watching me here. I'm going to put them on live. Assalamu alaikum. So anyway, so that they could be humbled in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the idea is, we should reflect on how much the adversities and difficulties we go through. Is it for reflection? Is it a point of inflection and return to Allah Azza wa Jal, so that we humble ourselves to Allah Azza wa Jal? That's the whole point of having difficulties and hardships, right? So that we go through a kind of a lesson of what that hardship is for, what that difficulty is for, right? So that difficulty should be a point where we reflect and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And oftentimes I want you to think about something. I know one guy, he went through an incredibly difficult time in his life. And there was a really bad car accident that happened in his life. And he actually said, that was probably the best blessing that happened to me. And he said the reason for that is because that difficulty, that car accident that I had, actually brought me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine, Ibn al-Qayyim, he says that, what are the good of blessings that turn you away from Allah when you become arrogant? And what are the benefits of hardships that turn you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can become blessings? And he said not only hardships, it's sins. He says sins can be blessings if they turn you back to Allah. So imagine, the difficulties and hardship and adversity that we go through, is that turning us back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says what? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَرَّعُونَ. So that they will become humbled and they turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the ayah afterward, ayah 43 from Surah Al-An'am, فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَذَرَّعُوا وَلَكِنْ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Why did they not humble themselves when we made them suffer? The whole point was then to turn back to Allah. They didn't. Why? The reason why is their hearts became hardened and Satan made their misdeeds appealing to them. Satan made their deeds appealing to them. And that's why one of the points of inflection that people, they actually don't turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is one of our teachers here in Masjid al-Nabawi, the Imam of Tafsir here in Medina, his name is Sheikh Abdullah Shankhidi. When we were studying with him here in this masjid, he told us that the Quran accepts one of two things, either mukabada or mukabara, either struggling to apply it or arrogance to deny it. Which one are we? Are we struggling to apply it or are we arrogant in denying it? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who struggle to apply it. So in reality, this moment of understanding why we don't learn from the lessons is one of two reasons. Either number one, قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts became hardened. And when their hearts became hardened, we have to learn how to soften our hearts. The Prophet ﷺ says, do you want your hearts to be softened? Go to the orphan and wipe your hand over their head. It will soften your heart and Allah will take care of your worries. SubhanAllah. Why? Because you went out of your way to take care of the people that are most ignored in society. Those who don't have parents, those who don't have anything. And he says, then give charity. These two things will soften your hearts. So it's an action based. And also among the ways of softening your hearts is turning to Allah in prayer. And to improve your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla, to have meaningful prayer. Okay? And then the second portion is that you don't allow shaitan to make your actions look beautified to you. And how is that? That you're impressed by yourself. Oh, look at me, I'm wearing this, I'm doing that. I'm, in essence, look at all the good that I'm doing. I'm giving charity and basically become arrogant based on the good that you've done. And that's really dangerous. So one of the ways that you don't allow shaitan to make your deeds appealing to you is that you constantly question your sincerity and you do more good privately. One of the problems with social media is that everybody's posting the good that they're doing. Oh look, I've given this charity. Oh look, I've just donated to this cause. Oh look, I'm taking care of this orphan. Oh look, I've just prayed 2 rak'ah tahajjud in this place and done this and done that. Hide your sins. Hide your sins, yeah, hide your deeds. And do it only for Allah. Deeds are only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When your deeds are only for Allah, that's why they said make certain deeds only for Allah that only Allah sees. That's why we say to, you know, this is a thought I had. For those who are Qurra, those who are reciters of the Quran, they said they suffer from riya the most. They suffer from the test of showing off. So one of the ways to humble yourself is to remember who's your audience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is your Quran recitation in private better or your Quran recitation in public better? When you know that Allah is your audience. So similarly, when you know that Allah is the audience of our deeds, then we only beautify our deeds for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the scholars of righteous scholars, what they used to do is they would have certain deeds that they would do privately only for Allah. Charity that we only give private. It doesn't mean you shouldn't do it in public, but it means that you should have something in private for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So doing things and having certain things that you do privately only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no one else knows about is incredibly important. Especially those who are teachers, those who are Quran reciters, those who are, you know, in the public eye, to do something only between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is incredibly, incredibly important. Otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? That shaitan does what? وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That shaitan then beautifies what they used to do and they actually become deluded by their own deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end, ayah number 44 of Surah Al-An'am, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. When they became oblivious to warnings, we showered them with everything they desired. But they just became prideful of what they were given. We seized them by surprise and they instantly fell into despair. So this is one of the most scariest things, is that if you're being given everything in your life, it's actually not that Allah is pleased with you. It might be that Allah has actually allowed your pride to be a cause of your misery. And He's given you everything of this world and nothing from the hereafter. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says among the characteristics of the believers, is they don't simply ask everything for this world. When you pray, you say, oh Allah, give me this relationship, give me this job, give me this... what do they say? رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَقٍ. They only ask for what things in this world. Give me the best things in this world. Prosperity gospel, right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us everything good in this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they have nothing in the hereafter what they ask for. About their spiritual state, about what's going to happen in the hereafter and their stations in paradise. So, but rather the believers say, رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. O Allah, grant us the best of this world, the best of the next, and protect us from the punishment of the hellfire, because that's our main concern. That we do everything for Allah, we stand for Allah, and that Allah is the one that we do our deeds for. And one of the most important things I want to end with, inshallah, out of this Illuminations, Quranic Reflections, inshallah, is the fact that among the things that was mentioned in the surah, even though it's among the earliest Meccan surahs, is actually eating halal meat. Eating halal and spending from halal and earning from halal. And the reason for that is that how important it is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that your dua being answered is tied to you eating and earning and nourishing yourself with halal and clothing yourself with halal, with what's permissible. So this is a point in our inflection in our life that we really take that seriously. This was among the earliest rulings in Islam. It was revealed in the Meccan period for people to really care about where they earn, how they nourish and their bodies and what they clothe themselves with and how they eat and what they spend with. And in reality, that teaches us that we shouldn't take things like that lightly. And that burger you're eating might be good now, but it's not going to be good for your dua being answered, in essence. So we should cleanse our palates, cleanse our stomachs. And not only that, not only caring about, oh, is it halal, and then we're good with it, that's only one portion. But also to care, you know, about the ethical nature of the food that we're eating. Is our intake leading to the oppression of others, for example? Is there being waste? Is it, healthy? Is it tayyib, as they say? And that's important as well. So this is among the earliest rulings in Mecca about making sure to eat from that which is pure, and to purify what you put in your body and how you earn and how you nourish and how you clothe. And among all of those things are the ways your dua is accepted. And eating from haram and earning from haram and nourishing from haram is among the way that your dua is prevented. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us, allow us to have our actions for Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that are sincere. May Allah bless you all and accept from us and overlook the shortcomings we have in the first third of Ramadan, and allow us to motivate for the next two thirds, inshallah. And if you didn't have a great first third, don't worry, you can make it up always. You have time. As long as there's time, there's hope. Because Allah is the one we work for. Our deeds are only for Allah. So Brother Haseeb, inshallah, and Masjid Nabawi, inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow with Illuminations, Quranic Reflections from the Haramain. Enjoy your day, inshallah, if you're still fasting. And make dua for all of us. We'll salam ala Habibina wa Nabiyina Muhammad. Wa ala ahi wa sahbihi ajma'in. I'll leave you all, inshallah, with the view of Masjid Nabawi. Inshallah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.